So thank you, friends. I guess I have to flick through a few charts. So today, I'm going to cover in the next 30 minutes or so is to explain to you the financial framework we use to support our strategic goals. The framework is very similar to those previously used by Ahold and Deleuze, so it may feel familiar, and it's built around four themes. Firstly, measuring our sustainable business model with clear operational metrics in all of our brands. Secondly, adopting a disciplined approach to capital investment. Third, being focused on delivering best-in-class cash generation. That's a tough one to say. And finally, having a balanced approach to capital allocation. So going back to our sustainable business model, and I know Dick has already touched on this, what I'd like to emphasize is how each of our brands has clear operational targets to ensure the so-called virtuous cycle works with saving programs funding our investments to drive growth. These underpin our short-term incentive targets, as Dick mentioned, underlying operating margin, sales growth, and free cash flow. In addition to this, all brands are expected to work to continuously improve their cost base with clear save for our customer targets set each year. The funds delivered from these initiatives are then invested in a controlled way in either price or quality or additional service. Now, obviously, we strive to balance the timing of the cost savings and the investments, and generally, this works well. Occasionally, we have slightly higher margin or lower margin quarter to quarter, but generally, we can balance the operating margin. Additionally, capital expenditure is allocated to drive sales growth, either through new growth in key channels, such as e-commerce, or same store sales growth with programs, as Dick mentioned, such as Easy, Fresh, and Affordable. All capital projects have specific return on capital targets, and post-investment reviews are carried out regularly to ensure the actual performance is in line with the targets. And finally, our brands are also focused very much on working capital as an additional driver of our strong free cash flow. So, cost discipline is in our DNA. It's something we're passionate about, and it isn't new. We have a good track record driving the business model forward, both at Ahold and in Deleuze. And the efficiency improvements and the cost discipline is very much something we work on day in, day out. This is an important formula for success at all times, but obviously it's doubly so during this merger where we're also delivering on the synergies. And it's also doubly important with the ongoing deflationary environment we see in the United States. Franz talked about our synergy target of $500 million, which will flow to the bottom line. But we'll continue our cost savings and efficiency programs in each of our businesses, and we'll continue to generate funds to drive our business model and meet the needs of the businesses in the changing and competitive world. Now, earlier, Dick talked about Belgium Transformation Project as an example of saving for our customers. It's a critically important project for Belgium, for Delhaize Belgium, right-sizing the cost base to ensure future growth. But not all the projects are of this size, this magnitude. Many are smaller projects which are initiated by our associates who seek to continuously improve their area of the business. So what I'd like to do is take you through some further examples where we buy better, operate smarter, and waste less. Now let me start with two examples from Albert Heijn of buying better. And these examples were both shown in the video that you saw earlier, where we're able to make these savings and then invest in the quality of our juices, invest in the quality of our hamburgers and our minced meat. The projects are both where we have been eliminating unnecessary packaging and reducing costs and were able to save significant sums. In the first example, at Albert Heijn, we sell just under 20 million 500ml fresh juice bottles each year. And a simple change from a glass bottle to a PET bottle resulted in annualized savings of 2 million euros per year. Of course, there were concerns, especially from the marketing teams. Would this be impacted by the customers? Would the customers notice a difference? Would they miss the glass bottle, which had some heritage behind it? And so we tested the change. We went carefully, and then we did some research before we implemented it fully. Also at Albert Heijn, we changed our meat trays from specific Albert Heijn trays with embossed Albert Heijn logos on the bottom of the tray to a generic tray weighing 6 grams less and costing less. 3 million euros of savings. And guess what? Nobody has missed the logo. Not any complaints as far as I'm aware. My next example is in Ahold, USA. And it's about operating smarter. Over the last 4 years, we've been area by area reviewing our labor costs. And for example, looking at new scheduling and performance management tools. These have been introduced, allowing us to refine and optimize schedules for our front of house, areas like our deli counter, to ensure the right resources are available at the right time of day. Stocking and replenishment processes have been modified to improve efficiency, and self-checkout cash handling has also been improved. These projects have all resulted in an overall 4% productivity increase at our USA, and generated savings of some 200 million cumulatively over the last 4 years. Now, are we done? Do we stop and then only work on the merger? And of course not. We continue to look at what we call our store of the future. We continue to look to optimize our self-checkout, the service desk area, optimizing our cash handling, and these are just some of the ways that we'll continue to look to operate smarter. Now, the third area of our savings programs are about wasting less. And staying with Ahold USA is a very good example where we've invested significant capital over the last three or four years to reduce the energy consumption significantly in our stores. It's a quick payback, and it's totally aligned with our sustainability message. The installation of LED lighting, air conditioner modifications, and improved metering have resulted in savings of over 40 million over a four-year period, $40 million. So these savings have allowed us, as we've mentioned, to invest in our customer proposition through price and quality, and to fund growth channels such as e-commerce. So Dick's covered this, so I won't stay on this chart in detail, but suffice to say, and it's worth repeating, at Food Lion we've now had 16 consecutive quarters of positive volume growth. At our USA, volumes are positive in 2016. And for example, at Albert Heijn, we continue to see good market share improvements. And in doing this, and looking back at 2014 and 15, and year to date, 2016, the model has been working. We've been investing in the customers, and we've been growing new channels, but importantly, we've maintained resilient margins across all five of our reporting segments. At Ahold USA, we've seen EBITDA margins at 6.6%, and by the way, it's worth looking at the EBITDA margins with a little bit more detail, because it's a bit more consistent than if we go back, and now with the PPA adjustments, look at the EBIT margins. The EBITDA, if you remember, margins are largely unchanged pre and post the purchase price allocation adjustments. So at Ahold USA, margins of 6.6% have increased slightly to 6.8%, and underlying operating margins remain where we forecast for the last 2 or 3 years, in the high 3s to 4%. At Delhaize America, we also see very stable EBITDA margins at 6.6%, close to Ahold USA levels. And underlying operating margins are also stable at 3.4%. And remember, Delhaize America was impacted most significantly by the remedy store disposals and purchase price allocation adjustments, which resulted in a reduction in 2015 of operating margins of 60 basis points. As said, in another word, the 3.4% would be equivalent to 4% pre-merger. You can also see improving margins in the Netherlands at 5.3%, Belgium recovering to 2.5% year to date, and solid margins in Central and Southern Europe at just under 4%. So I hope this gives you a clear view of how we see the business model working, working in a way that we measure at each step of the business model, and we can measure our progress in a systematic way. So now let me move on to how we look at our capital investments and how we approach our capital investments over the... I'll just go back a slide. In the merged company. As you can see, our investments increased in 2016 from 2050, 1.6 billion, to around 1.8 billion that we expect in 2016. That's equivalent to 1x depreciation. And as you can see, at 3% of sales, the CapEx levels are slightly ahead of our peer group. Now, bear in mind, if you look at the geographic split, CapEx at Ahold USA may look low at 26 going to 28% of group spend. But again, this excludes significant growth investments we've made from M&A, which includes, for example, the acquisition of the AMP stores in 2015. So the M&A activity is excluded from these numbers, and that's where a lot of our growth capital has actually come from. As you can see, investments in the Netherlands increased to 22% of the total in 2016, and that's really as a result of the new distribution centers at Albert Heijn and at bol.com. And in total for 2017, we'll maintain our spend at the current levels at around 1.8 billion, and we'll keep spending in line with depreciation at about 1x. So while we're committed to ensure our stores and infrastructure are properly maintained and capital is available for growth, we also believe that maintaining top quartile returns, top quartile return on capital, has a direct correlation to value creation. For that reason, return on capital represents 40%, as Dick mentioned, 40% of management's long-term incentive program. And all projects are managed with specific return on capital targets. And please, no questions on the definition of return on capital. That's a discussion that goes on for a long time. The key issue is we pick one measure and we're consistent with that measure going forward. And I know there's a lot of different views about what measure should be used, but we pick one measure and then we keep that going forward. Based on the measure, which is defined at the bottom of the chart, which you can look at in your own time, our return on capital was 13.3% in 2015. That meant we were very much operating in the top quartile of our peer group. And so as we look to grow and we look to continue to invest, we understand the need to deliver returns which are accretive to the group. So let's move on to cash generation, obviously something which is very important to the group. We've discussed the importance of EBIT, underlying profit, operating profit, and EBITDA growth, but it's also imperative and it's also a key point of focus that we work on working capital management. You can see from the chart that currently Ahold Delhaize operates with negative 13 days working capital. We believe by continuing to focus, we can improve that by one day by 2018. That might not sound a lot, but one day represents 170 million euros, which is around 10% of our free cash flow. So that's quite an important contribution to our cash flow generation. Looking over the last 4 years, and based on the combined numbers of Ahold and Delhaize, we have consistently, as a team, delivered strong free cash flows in the range of 1.8 to 1.7 billion euros. equivalent to 2.7% of sales. And again, ahead of our peer group, who you can see here with an average of 1.5% of sales. So looking forward in 2016, we expect free cash flow will be a little lower at $1.3 billion, and that's largely due to the higher CapEx, the step-up in CapEx we saw in 2016, but also, of course, the one-off merger-related costs. Now, we expect free cash flow to increase in 2017 to $1.6 billion, benefiting from the merger synergies and the improving working capital performance. And as you recall, we'll maintain our CapEx at the higher levels of $1.8 billion in 2017. And of course, we'll also continue to see some significant merger-related costs, which Fran showed you in a chart earlier. So the final piece of our framework is our balanced approach to capital allocation. This means operating with an efficient balance sheet while applying our capital in a balanced way to proactively manage our debt, to fund growth through capital expenditure or through M&A, in fact, and commit to return excess liquidity to our shareholders. The strength of our balance sheet and our strong free cash flow generation gives us the flexibility to manage all of those areas. So for example, as you saw earlier in November, we repurchased the Japanese yen bond, and we're able to take that opportunity to repurchase high-cost debt without impacting our flexibility to return cash to shareholders. So let's look at the group's net debt evolution through 2016. When we brought the two balance sheets together in the middle of 2016, we started with a gross debt position, as you can see on the chart, of 5.8 billion euros. We then adjusted the gross debt for two factors. Firstly, in the PPA exercise, there was a fair value adjustment of the Delhaize debt, and this increased gross debt by 0.7 billion. And secondly, on a historic basis, Delhaize reported a net cash position, netting cash and short-term liabilities. Going forward, we will report gross cash and gross debt separately. And while obviously this makes no difference to the net debt position, it results in cash and debt both increasing by a billion. But therefore, in Q3, if you go across the chart, we reported a gross debt of 7.3 billion, and that was offset by cash of 3.7 billion, getting to a net debt position of 3.6 billion. It's worth persevering with this chart a little bit because I know it's an important item for many of you. So including the yen bond transaction, which we'll go through in quarter four, and the free cash flow in quarter four, we expect net debt at the end of the year to be around 3.2 billion. Now, as I've mentioned, the strength of our balance sheet and the strong cash flow is what gives us flexibility. And at the end of 2016, therefore, we expect our leverage, measuring using S&P's formula for adjusted net debt to EBITDA, to be 2x. Now, this compares very favorable to our peer group with an average of 3.1 times. And clearly, if we take no further action as we go through 2017, you'll see this reduced to well under 2x. In the past, we've used a slightly different formula to measure at Ahold the net debt, and we used net debt to EBITDAR. And using the old formula, we'd be at a ratio in 2016 of 1.8 times. However, we felt it was better now to align with an industry-recognized methodology and adopt the S&P calculation. So looking forward, our goal is to maintain our solid BBB flat investment-grade credit rating, and we feel that gives us the flexibility and allows us the opportunity to continue to allocate capital appropriately. Now, as I've mentioned, managing our debt is one of our key objectives, and we were able to repurchase, as you can see here, the 2031 Japanese yen bond in November. And while debt optimization will remain a goal, I currently don't see significant further opportunities to repurchase additional longer dated expensive debt. However, we will look to refinance maturing debt through 2017 and 2018. So that brings me to shareholder returns, which is obviously made up of our dividend. And for the dividend, we reiterate this will be based on a payout ratio of 40 to 50%, slightly different now, based on a pro forma underlying income from continuing operations. And of course, as you've read this morning, we're also announcing a 1 billion share buyback program, which will start mid-January 2017 and continue over the balance of 2017. So that really concludes the discussion about the financial framework and how we look at managing our cash and managing our debt and capital returns. I'd like to just summarize by saying it's this framework that provides the strong foundation and gives us the confidence in the future. So let me conclude by recapping a little on our Q3 results and our outlook for 2017. Despite the current deflationary environment in the United States, in Q3, we saw volume growth of just over 1% at Ahold USA and real growth of 2.9% at Delhaize America. Comparable sales growth was solid in Europe, up 3.3% in the Netherlands, 1.3% in Belgium, and 6% in Central and Southern Europe. And we stated during the Q3 results, that for the full year 2016, we expect underlying operating margins of 3.6%. That's 10 basis points ahead of last year. In 2017, we'll deliver the 220 million of synergies, which will, of course, lead to further margin expansion in 2017. As we've stated, we expect free cash flow of 1.6 billion in 2017, and today we announced a 1 billion share buyback starting early in the new year. So with that, now I'm going to hand back to Dick.
Yeah, if I may kindly invite the other
first
presenters at
Q&A
the stage.
First, or?
No, we'll do it for the group
okay.
all together.